Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Now, this morning, you're in for a special, special treat. I guess it's been, Brenda, I don't know how many weeks ago, but we got a video. And it just blew me away. It really did. And y'all are going to hear about it this morning. And the two gentlemen that have come forward came all the way from First Baptist Hendersonville in Nashville this morning. The big tall fella here in the green shirt, his claim to fame is my claim to fame. He married into the Stokes family. Randall Davis. Randall is a lawyer, an attorney from Clarksville, does a great job. He was for many years our attorney for the Tennessee Baptist Convention, and so we're just thrilled to have Randall with us. He is one of the adult Sunday school teachers. There's three of them. They do team teaching in their Sunday school class at First Baptist Hendersonville, so we're blessed to have him. And then Dr. Tommy Crunk is with us. Dr. Crunk specializes in internal medicine, and he has patients literally all over the place. His main claim to fame, though, is up at Northcrest in Springfield, and you may have seen him if you've been in and out up there. But we wanted, after hearing this video that Brenda sent out to CW and everybody else, I wanted you all to hear that God has not changed. He is still the same. He is able to do anything whenever he gets, whatever he wants to do, whenever he gets ready to do it. And I want to tell you, the church needs to hear this story because many of you all need hope. Let me say that again. Many of us up in here need some hope today. I'm amazed at how much stuff's going on in the body of Christ. Trouble and trials and tribulation. Well, what you're about to hear is that God still has the ability to set people free. And they're going to give glory and honor to God, and you're going to be blessed by getting to hear them. And I'm going to pray for us, and then they're going to come and share with us. Father, thank you so much. I've been looking forward to this day for many, many days. Ever since I heard Dr. Tommy and his testimony, Lord, I thought, man, that's a message everybody needs to hear. And so I thank you for bringing the folks out today. We believe everybody that's here is supposed to be here. This is a divine appointment. We all need to hear about our great God who has the ability to save, to heal, to create, to do anything he wants to do. And I thank you, Lord, for this day, and I pray that you would now fill your two servants with your spirit. Anoint both of them that we might be able to heap tremendous praise and honor and glory upon you today. Lord, we thank you so much, Father, for sending your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. All right, y'all welcome these two brothers up to the platform this morning.
And it's just like an attorney. He's going through his brief right now.
It's good to see everybody this morning. Mama and Dad always taught me you need to introduce yourself. I'm Randall. This is Tommy. My purpose for being here this morning. First, we're not trying to sell you anything. We don't have any tapes or books or any of those types back there for y'all to buy. Nothing wrong for when those people come in and do that type of stuff, but we don't. Number two, we're not trying to convince you of anything. Need to understand that. What we're here to do is share an experience. How you interpret it, how you receive it, how it affects you, That's between you and God. Okay? We're going to do a little kind of a three-part. I'm going to do a kind of an open thing, kind of set the stage. Tommy's going to tell you about the experience. Then we're going to call Cal up. We're going to kind of do a little. I look around here. A lot of you know who Paul Harvey used to be. He used to have that little. And the rest of the story, we're going to fill in the rest of the story at the end. Maybe answer some Q&A if you want some questions and that type of stuff. So it's kind of really informal, but we're going to kind of go through it as the Lord leads us. All right. The best way I can describe Dr. Tommy to you, get this picture in your mind, the Energizer Bunny. This guy never stops. 24/7 he's going and running and operating. He doesn't have park or rest in his vocabulary. He's going all the time. And that's an important point for you to understand, because you'll better come to grips with the experience that he went through, the change, and what happened. All right? So what's my role here if Tommy's given the experience? Well, in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, that's, everybody knows that's the Great Commission. And Jesus told his disciples to go. And that's a specific goal. That's to go tell the gospel, share the gospel with a lost world. That's what it is. But if you go over to Acts 1, verse 8, second half of verse 8, it says, "You will be my witnesses." Now, that's broader than disciple, because a disciple can be a witness, but a witness can also be somebody who is an encourager, somebody who's an open ear, sympathetic ear, somebody who's going to be an accountability partner who comes up and comes beside you and tells you. So the witness can be a lot of different things, all right? So it's more than just that. So what I'm here to do, I'm to play that role of the witness. Tommy experienced something, I was there with him. So my role is just simply to tell that. Now, give me a question. Do I have any medical training to understand what he went through and to convey it to you? The answer is absolutely not. None, zero. But I'm going to share this with you. There's three types of people here today. There's a group that is currently in some trial or tribulation in their life. Okay? There's a group that you're headed for a trial or tribulation just down the road somewhere. And then there's that third group that's been through a trial and tribulation. Well, the reason I'm here is because I'm in the third group. Let me explain that to you. In the summer of 1975, at the grand old age of 16 years of age, God had plans at that time that differed from my plans. I spent 30 days in the hospital. Went from 170-something pounds to 120-something pounds. At that time, I was in the best physical shape I'd ever been in my life and ever would be in my life. And as I said, I had these plans. I had the things that I was going to do, but my life's focus changed. Now, when you're in a trial, the opportunity or the impulse is to the, why me? Why me? Now, there's two types of why me I'm going to tell you about. One's a negative and one's a positive. I'm going to start with a negative because this is what I did when I was 16 years old. I don't deserve this. I honor and obey my parents. I read the Bible. I say my prayers. I go to church. I make good grades. I do not get in trouble. That was the I stuff. You get it? Me was the focus. God had different plans. If you remember, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans not to harm you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, at 16 years of age, I didn't want to hear that from my mother, but she read it to me. And I'll tell you this, folks, I was doing the negative why me for 2 years. For 2 years after that, I didn't talk to God. I didn't study the Bible. Now, I didn't become this rebel person and do everything bad. I just stopped the fellowship with my God for 2 years. Okay? For 2 years, it took me to come, you know, that old thing, the prodigal son, he says he came to his senses. It took me 2 years to come to my senses in that concept. All right? So anyway, I'm just trying to give you the standpoint. And there's another verse, a passage in the Bible that my mother read to me. And it became my most favorite verses in the Bible then and continue today. You all know this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, you got to stop there a moment. Because did it say anything about what I'm saying? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So, in essence, you got to take that I and the me out and put him at the top. Now, what's the next phrase? Lean not on whose understanding? My understanding. So I didn't understand what I went through at that time, and I still don't understand it entirely today. But the verse says, I'm not supposed to worry about what I understand. It's him, okay? What does it go on to? Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your pathways. That's my favorite verses, okay? I'm not proud of what I did for those 2 years and the concept of me being out of fellowship with God. But I'll tell you this with 100% certainty. I wouldn't change it for all the gold in the world. I learned more about the love and faithfulness of God during that 2 years of my life when I was turning and running away from God than I have in all my other years combined. I was turning away and he never forsaken me. Never did. Okay? So, okay, let's go back again. Why do Christians go through trials? One reason, God uses trials to draw us closer to him and to prepare us for those trials and tribulations that we're going to encounter in life. Okay? I've told you what it is, but in 1975, God knew that Randall would one day encounter Tommy, who would be going through a trial and a tribulation. One of the reasons my experience was to be here in 2022 to be with Tommy. That's one of the things that God planned in 1975. Did I know about it? Absolutely not. So the idea here is that God does have plans for us. And so what we've got to do, and let's go to the positive side of the why me now. I told you the negative side. I'm an example of the negative side. Tommy's an example of the positive side. If he asked me once, he asked me 500 times over there, why me? But he never asked it in a way of, you know, I've been a good person, this shouldn't happen to me. What didn't ask it that. It was, what does God want to do with me? Kind of like Isaiah, when God was telling him he needed to send somebody, and he said, here am I, Lord, send me. That's what Tommy was saying. Here am I, Lord, send me. God's plan is for Tommy to be with you today to share his experience. My opportunity is to be a witness to that. Again, what we're going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Tommy now so he can tell you his testimony and the experience that he went through, and then we're going to come back and kind of do a rest of the story type, sit and close it out, and then do that. Tommy, my friend, my brother in Christ.
It's you, okay. Now, I asked Brother Cal for a podium, and you got a stand. So I'm going to take your stand. Uh-huh. There you go. And you told me to sit down. Of course, I'm going to stand up. Good morning. What a beautiful group of people, and I love your church. It's wonderful. The next person I need to acknowledge and locate in this congregation is Brenda, his sweet wife, because when we're teaching Sunday school and I run over, she starts going like this. And I'm the only living person that's ever stuck my tongue out at her. It's great to be here. One of the great miracles I consider in my life is God putting me with my brother Randall, who is my mentor. We co-teach a Sunday school class. But we go beyond that now. We are really brothers, and Brenda and my wife, sisters, close in Christ, who love to be together, real family. Let me begin my story. March 29th of this year, I was as strong as a bull. I could have picked up Randall and run with him. They're laughing. I shouldn't lie in the house of the Lord, should I? I was strong as could be. I didn't have a health problem in the world. I had air in all four of my tires, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. Four tires on your car. If one goes flat, they all go flat. We have seen that before where many of my patients are friends. They would physically get down, then they couldn't go to church, and it affected them mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Air in all four of my tires. Then on March the 30th of this year, all of a sudden, I experienced something I had never experienced. Weakness. Didn't feel right. I knew I didn't have COVID. Something wasn't right. The next day, worse and worse, and April Fool's Day is my favorite day of the year. Come along April 1st, and I couldn't play April Fool's on Dr. Chess or my pastor or anyone else. And I was declining, and I could see as a physician, I was getting weak in my legs, hips, and shoulder girdle. And that was confusing to me. I had no fever, no chills, no illness, just getting worse. This progressed to the point that I called my friend, Dr. Wright Pinson, who's in charge of Vanderbilt Medical Center, and said, I need to see one of your neurologists. Something's going wrong with me. Well, he had me in to see the professor and chairman of neurology the next day. Then, one of the professors of rheumatology, infectious disease. They all were scratching their head and drawing blood and getting x-rays and saying, Tommy, we're not sure what's wrong. This progressed to the point that on Saturday morning, May 6th of this year, I was, as the old folks would say, stove up. I couldn't move. It was Saturday morning. I wasn't going to the Vanderbilt emergency room on a Saturday. I called my friend, Dr. John Bright Cage, it's from St. Thomas Midtown. He said, you go there now. My nephew had to help lift me into the vehicle. They unloaded me on a stretcher. They were ready to code me when I got there. I had reached the point that I couldn't walk. I couldn't breathe. They ran tests on me Saturday, Sunday, Monday, came in to me and said, we don't know what's wrong with you. You need to go to a research center. You need to be hospitalized at Vanderbilt. Tommy didn't know what was wrong with him either. At that time, I had lost 40 pounds in 6 weeks. Not fat, skeletal muscle. Now, skeletal muscle is what you walk with, but it's what you breathe with. When you eat ribs, you're not eating the ribs, that's the bone. You're eating the muscle between. Skeletal muscle is the diaphragm, the intercostal muscles. The cause of death for our Lord and Savior, if I was putting it on the birth certificate, would have been exhaustion, asphyxiation. His rib muscles had frozen, and he could no longer adequately move from his diaphragm. I was miserable. I was discharged from St. Thomas Midtown, and a day later, my friend Dr. Pinson had me in Vanderbilt. 5 days of tests and needles stuck everywhere, and for you little children, needles this long and that big around. Oh, horrible. Got your attention, didn't I? After biopsies in every test, and every professor. On the last day I was in Vanderbilt, they came to me. They said, we just had a grand rounds. That's where the departments get together and discuss you. And we don't know what's wrong with you. And I'm like, these are the smartest people in the world. We're entering you into the unknown disease program. Oh, well, what an honor. It's a collaborative effort between Mayo and Hopkins and UCLA and Baylor and universities in Europe to determine what is this new unknown disease. In the meantime, go home. Things continue to get worse. Breathing was horrible at night. My oxygens were 88. That's a failing grade on oxygen. I could no longer do the things I wanted to do. I couldn't go to my workshop. Couldn't go out in my yard and do anything. It got to the point at one time that my wife was spoon feeding me. I could not carry out any of my activities of daily living. Life was horrible. I was miserable. Brenda and Randall, faithful to come see us, bring us food, do things for us. I had reached a point where I was praying privately where my wife couldn't hear me. Jesus, come get me. Come get me. I'm ready. I have no fear. Then one morning in my study at about 5 a.m., my wife had come down with me and we were crying together. And I promise you, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, we experienced at the same time a peace that passeth all understanding. It's real. I told my pastor, I said, you preached about it all your life. I have felt it. It came over me. It's real. My pastor, I love him dearly, came to see me the next day. I told him, I said, I have no fear. I have no fear. I know that my Lord and Savior is waiting on me. I have no fear. He said, what do you fear? I said, I fear continuing to live like I am right now. Randall would come see me. Brenda would come see me. My pastor and Randall and Brenda, as they would leave, the pastor said, I wondered if I would ever see my friend Tommy alive again. There was nothing left of my legs. The skeletal muscle was gone. Randall, my thighs were down smaller than my arms. On July the 2nd, Saturday, Randall came over. I was supposed to teach the next day. We were teaching the Holy Spirit. We prepped together. I had written notes, supposedly so he could read them. Doctor's writing, lawyer's writing. He was pretty uncertain as to whether I was going to teach that day. I got up that morning. The wife literally had to dress me, brought me down and set me in my recliner. When she came down, I was stooped over. She said, can you do this? I said, I'm going to try. The Lord is calling me to do this. They brought me into the class in a wheelchair. You sat to my right. I smacked you with this ring.
Multiple times.
We made it through it, didn't we?
We did, brother.
I left in the wheelchair. They loaded me in my vehicle. I drove away from my church that I loved dearly, and I cried. I sobbed that I would never be in there again. Got home. Wife put me in shorts and T-shirt. Set me down. And then all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, I felt darkness. And then just like a shot. And I looked down, and my thighs came back in front of my very eyes. Hallelujah. Like, I'm talking about in the clap of a hand. That's certain. I'm a physician. I know the muscles. I watch them come back. Not like inflating a tire, but immediately came back. Hallelujah. I got up out of the wheelchair and ran to the end of our driveway and back. As I stand here in the house of the Lord, God, I pray that this is as it happened. And I'm telling it as it happened. I ran to the end of the driveway and back. My wife and I were screaming, "Oh my God, oh my God." And that's right. It was, amen. "Oh my God." I got on the phone. I called Randall. "You got to come now." I texted you already. So, Brenda, "You have got to come here now." They were getting out of big church. We have our Sunday school class first. They came immediately. When they rounded the corner, I ran to the end of the driveway and back. This man had just dismissed me to go home to die. It's hard to talk about this without being emotional. I cried coming over here. I had little tears. Why me, God? Why me, God? And I spent all the next day, the 4th of July. Why me, God? Why me, God? I can promise you that through 3 months and 2 days of horrible decline and not being able to breathe at night, I kept my faith in the Lord and Savior. Long suffering. Romans 12. Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and always be prayerful. And I did that. I had that peace that passeth all understanding. It was hard times. And yet I drew upon my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If you all have no greater gift than you look to your right and left and behind you, in front of you, these are your brothers and sisters in Christ, as appointed to you. Amen. The Holy Spirit said to me, just as clear, when I kept asking, "Why me, Lord? Why me?" The Holy Spirit said, "You, at first, take small steps." And you are, I believe, the 10th congregation that I've appeared in front of with my testimony. Now that at first kind of bothers me, Brother Cal. I don't know, but I have promised the Lord if the next step is to go to Syria, Honduras, or the foreign country of Kentucky, I will go there. I didn't say Mississippi.
There you go.
I thank you, God. I'm confused, but I'm listening for what you want me to do. Three quick verses. Luke 18, 22. Jesus said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Yes. And I've had the best doctors in the world, caring doctors, heads of their departments. And I have found out what they couldn't do with their knowledge and any medicines they had on their shelf was possible with God. Isaiah 60:22. When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. Well, God, I was going over the edge of Niagara Falls without a barrel. I could see the mist. You carried me to the abyss of death and brought me back. When the time is right, I will make it happen. Psalm 9:1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell your wonderful deeds. Hallelujah. Amen. Is he a miracle worker? Amen. Amen. God bless. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
As I said, we would do the rest of the story. Let me fill in a little gaps there because he skipped over some important points.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
As he always does. That Saturday morning, we met for 2.5 hours helping him get prepared for the lesson. Now, you need to understand, we had already postponed his teaching multiple times because he just wasn't ready to do it, capable of doing it, couldn't do it. Not that he hadn't studied, because the man studies 24/7. You know, I told you, he's the Energizer Bunny. I mean, he's got notes, and you can't read them, but he's got notes all over the place, okay? 2.5 hours, I walked out of his home. I said to myself then, he's not going to teach tomorrow. He may not even live till tomorrow. He was, get this picture in mind, Raggedy Ann doll. He was slumped over in his chair, had no muscles. If you ever see the puppy, you know, when you have puppies, you reach out and grab them behind the scruff of the neck, and they got that skin coming, so you pick them up. And that's what it was above his knees. Literally just skin. You could just grab and pull the skin up. That's what, he had no muscle tone, nothing to work. And he, again, I walked out of there knowing my brother was going home, and he wasn't going to teach the next morning. I got up around 3:30 Sunday morning, which is typically what I get up because I like to go back over my lessons and prepare for those, whether I'm teaching or not, just in case, because I have two co-teachers who have had health issues, and I have, just in case, I get that call at 6 o'clock in the morning, says, you know, Tommy, Larry can't teach today, you know, whichever one it is, can you cover it? So I got there. I got up at 3:30 that morning, and I was, typically I do a little prayer before I start organizing all my notes and doing the last little walkover. Now, I'm going to have to ask you, tell you something. I do not know if I have ever heard the voice of God. The reason I tell you, because I don't know what God's voice is, so I can't tell you if I've heard it. But I can tell you this, God talks to me.
All right. Amen.
He talks to me through his word. He talks to me through the pastors and the sermons that we have. He talks to me through my accountability partners. He talks to me, my brothers and sisters. He talks to me, and he also talks to me in my thoughts. And I was praying that morning that Tommy would have the strength to do the lesson. And here's what I heard. Tommy's going to be okay. Tommy's going to be okay. Now, you need to understand something. Randall didn't understand what Tommy's going to be okay meant. Because I thought he was just answering my prayer of, I'm praying for Tommy to be able to give a lesson today. And I'll give you this. Tommy's voice, and I heard this from multiple people, and we have about 40 or 50 in our Bible study. Multiple parties said his voice was the strongest that morning than it had been the last two or three times he'd talked. Now, physically, he was worn out. His battery was bumping zero at the end, folks. He was over with. We had to literally help him, pick him up and put him in the wheelchair, pick him up, put him in the car. And he was, as you said, he was crying when he was in, because he said, that's the last time I'll ever be in my church. I put him in that car, and I had this feeling. He's not coming back. But I gave thanks because he did something he wanted to do, which was teach the Bible lesson that morning. And he did that. And as he said, about an hour and a half later, I got a text, all caps. Come quickly. Come now. Come quickly. Come now. Folks, God is my witness. I thought I was being called to see my brother go to heaven. That was my thought. Brendan and I went there. There was a car parked in the driveway, so I had to park parallel out on the street. And as I'm undoing the seatbelt and that type of stuff, I see something out of my eye, and somebody's coming toward us. I look up. Tommy is running down the driveway across the front yard toward my truck. I got out of my truck, Lorna, and we embraced. Now, folks, I had just embraced him, not that morning, but even the Saturday morning just before, he didn't have muscle anywhere, bones and skin. I embraced him there, muscles on his back, muscles on his arms, muscles on his leg. He was covered in muscles that he didn't have an hour before. He did a deep knee bend, folks. If I did a deep knee bend, a couple of you guys had to help me get back up off the floor, okay? This was a person who was this close to death. Now, Tommy asked me multiple times, why 3 months and 2 days? I'm going to explain to you why. Because there were the experts at Vanderbilt Hospital, the experts at Mayo Clinic, the experts at Johns Hopkins, at UCLA, the hospital, research hospital over in Germany. There were a lot of experts that had a lot of those initials after their original name from all those degrees they had. They had to come to a conclusion. You know what the conclusion they came to? This is what Tommy and Miss Susie were told the Friday before that Saturday of May. They were told, one, we don't know what's happening to you. Number two, we got no treatment or cure for it. And number three, it's going to kill you. In fact, most you got is 3 months. But we have this to say. After you die, we're going to do all the tests and we're going to find out what it is.
Autopsy, yeah.
We're going to do the test. We're going to find a cure for it.
Like field dressing a deer.
Yeah. Now, folks, I didn't even know there was an unknown disease department in any hospital. But he got moved to number one in the nation on that list. And this is a group of hospitals that are the best research hospitals in the world, all connected by internet. So all of his test results were getting sent to all of them, and they were having their get-together to talk about it, and everybody was dumbfounded. So why'd it take 3 months and 2 days? Those experts had to come to the conclusion, we don't know what this is. And there's no treatment or cure for it. And as Tommy told me later on, they just happen to be looking in the wrong book.
Be looking in this book.
So what I'm telling you at this point is, I expected to see, when I was called to go there, my brother in the bed dying. And I had been short-sighted when God said, when I heard that verse, Tommy's going to be okay. Tommy's going to be okay. He's sitting here now. I was short-sighting God's power and God's plan once again. He had a greater thing. And Tommy, as he says, being faithful. He doesn't understand everything is there. He's got a long way to go in that walk, but it's one step at a time. One step. And it's a step out of faith, not understanding. We give God all the glory. I thank you for letting us be here.
Wednesday a week ago, I went back to Unknown Clinic. And they are dumbfounded at my miraculous recovery. They are looking in the wrong books. I'm looking at you. Come up here real quick. Come here. What is your name? Come here. Come here. Okay. Show me.
No.
Come on. Now,
look at you.
Those little pitiful legs you've got.
Any comments, questions, thoughts? We'd be glad to see if we can answer that for us. Again, this was just a kind of a freelance type opportunity for us to talk with you and share with you an experience. Just the calling to be the witnesses that we are telling you about what God's done in our lives. Any thoughts? Yes, sir.
I'd love to hear the doctor say, we don't know what happened, but we can raise our hands.
Amen.
And that's the exact reason that Tommy asked me many times, why 3 months and 2 days? It took that long for all those guys and gals with all those degrees and expertise to come to the conclusion, we don't know what's going on and there's no cure for it. God had a different plan.
Yes, ma'am.
Tommy, were you able to share your faith with these doctors and say...
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But you know what? They won't put that in a medical journal. But well, maybe, before it's over with, I keep saying, God, use me as your instrument to open the eyes of unbelievers in health care.
I want to share with you, this is a kind of a little funny. Tommy's one of those guys, if meet you in a restaurant, meet you in the Walmart, or if you're in Home Depot or Lowe's, that's really going where you're going to see Tommy a lot of times. But he's going to ask you, do you have a church home? He's going to ask you that. Do you have a church home? He's leading up to whether or not you're a believer or not. But he's going to ask you first, do you have a church home? And he, while I was in Vanderbilt, he was asking each of the nurses and people, do you have a church home? Do you know Jesus? And then at some point in the time, he said, I know Jesus and I'm going to see him. And they put him on the suicide watch.
They put a nurse outside my room.
They had a nurse sitting at his door 24/7. Of course, she's on her phone doing this, not paying attention to Tommy. But they put him in because he asked him, do you know Jesus?
Because I said, I'm ready to go see Jesus now.
Yeah.
And it was the now that got me in deep, you know.
Yeah. So the idea here is, Tommy, if you encounter him, he's at some point in the conversation, he's going to ask you about your church home. He's going to ask you about your belief. You got to get prepared for that. Yeah. Now, not everybody's real receptive to that. That's why he got put on the suicide box.
With me holding the Word of God in my hand, in the house of God, in front of the body of Christ, everything that Brother Randall and I have said to you today is to the best of our ability the truth. Amen. And without any secondary gain other than to give God the glory.
Yes, sir.
Sam, should you share your testimony with other people?
I'm sure that God has used you to pray for other people. Have you seen other people be healed because of your testimony of faith? Because there are people in this very room today that need divine healing and need to hear this word of testimony of truth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And let me explain that to you. It's very humbling to receive a miracle. It's very humbling and troubling to have to know family, friends, church members who need a miracle and they're not having their prayers answered. And we've all had loved ones who we prayed for, cancer, heart attack, stroke, and we've prayed. And our request for a miracle was not answered. Let's go back to Mark 2. And the Lord entered into the home of Simon Peter in Capernaum. And there were four friends who were so interested in a miracle. They couldn't get through the door, so they beat a hole in the ceiling. Can you imagine all of that thatch and mud falling on the people below? And they let their friend down for a miracle. And what was the first thing our Lord and Savior said? Because of your faith, your sins are forgiven. Blasphemy, said the scribe. And it was because he was pretending to be God. Well, he was God. And he said, the Son of God, meaning he was fully human. The Son of Man, meaning he was forgives you of your sins. Pick up your mat and walk. And he did, the paralytic. Now, to answer your question, he got his miracle. He got miracle number two. Miracle number one, the greatest miracle of all, our Lord and Savior shedding his blood on the cross for our sins. Amen. And his resurrection so that we will be resurrected and have spiritual life in eternity. He gave him the greatest miracle of all. And hopefully all of those people praying for miracles for their mothers, fathers, and everyone else, that those people are saved and they've gotten the greatest miracle. And then I just happened to get the paralytic's miracle, and others have too. And you keep praying for it and you never give up hope of a miracle. Amen. Amen. We're overtime. You're paying us overtime now. Oh, what a great church.
We thank you very much for the opportunity to come and share. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for the time that you've given us this day. We pray, Lord, that our words, our attitudes, and our actions are pleasing to you. Above all else, let us hold you up. Let us be there to share. Let us be there to be the witness. We don't know what others may need. We don't know what their circumstances and situations are, but we can share. I thank you for this time. I thank you for this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's a dangerous thing to give a preacher anytime, anywhere, a microphone. Amen. God, if you don't sense his spirit, you got something wrong. God is here today. You have heard about the Spirit's work. And you're right, Brother Tommy. That Psalm 9 and verse 1, over and over and over again, the Word of God tells us to declare his wonderful or mighty works. We need to keep telling folks. You need to open your mouth and declare God's wonderful works. That's what the Bible tells us to do. And that's what these two brothers have done today. Now, I know what all of you are thinking. Why doesn't God heal everybody? Well, if you're one of his children, he does heal everybody. You're on your way to heaven. You're going to be ultimately healed one day. But God, out of his grace and mercy, I don't understand why God would touch Tommy instantaneously and heal him. I don't understand all that. But what I want you to know today, and you've heard them, they've said it, our God is still able to do that. He can touch you, and he can heal you. And by the way, James chapter 5 tells us we're supposed to pray for one another to be healed. That's what the Word of God tells. Do we know if God's going to touch somebody and give that? We don't know. But that's where your faith comes in. And believing that God has a bigger, better plan than you do and what I do. Okay? God's bigger than all that. And we just have to simply trust him. He knows best. And so I want to just kind of give y'all an opportunity to respond. I don't know. I just want to give glory to God. I don't know what needs to be said or done right now. But we're going to give you a time of invitation right now, a time of response. CW, did you need to say something?
Here's what he said. The greatest miracle flies before is the walk of the man. It's not about the physical one, but the spiritual one. You may lame walk, blind to see. The greatest miracle is when he says the walks by faith.
So we're going to give everybody here an opportunity this morning to respond. If you need spiritual healing today, if you're lost and you don't know if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, we would love to share the scriptures with you. But you need to come forward to do that, and we'll take you down to one of our counseling areas and we'll share with you how you can receive the greatest miracle anyone will ever get.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.